You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
your life. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening.
This call
Kemet
may be recorded or transcribed.
The apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Excuse me. Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. How's everybody doing, family? Man, I've been having this problem with... Let me clear my throat. For real. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, we can always go to our archives at typhoonawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, you can use a shortcut, babaoshi.net. Any search engine, whatever search engine you might be dealing with, put in the search babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Kweku. Appreciate you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and all times are Eastern. Tomorrow, Thursday evening from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba. Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move. Friday, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday at 7 p.m. And once again, also, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Going to forego some of the announcements because for some reason my computer wasn't acting right, man. I got to give Brother Kweku a call and find out what's up with this. Yeah, man. So I'm going to go right to the Inyasasim, the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought, and then go into what we're going to talk about and talk to some of you who are already in the queue. Definitely talk to Brother Irv and Brother Ted. Ted Lusk. So you guys hold on and we'll be right with you. And all other callers and listeners, because you know you can give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. April 2nd. Salt water in his veins. Nothing can drown him. He walks on water while holding the world on his shoulders, maneuvers through chaos while maintaining control and order. Miss Wright. Toxic masculinity is a conceptual myth manufactured by those who desperately fear the warrior within our men and boys. It is a battle cry of those who are in full pursuit of fulfilling Urugu's agenda to effeminize and remove them from any battlefield where men should stand and confront others' efforts to destroy us. Ultimately, it is an erroneous, descriptive, promoted by those among us who seek to misdirect the righteous rage of these warriors inward, away from our true enemies, so that the murderer of our people's spirit, mind, and bodies can be done with the minimum of resistance and even without our assistance. The problem is not masculinity. The problem is the awareness and the fears of those aspiring to white supremacy. The problem is in the menticide of those among us who adore Urugu. Ashe. Affirm, I honor and respect the power of our warrior men. Ashe. Affirm, I honor and respect the power of our warrior men. Brothers and sisters, you know, the wisdom of the Inyasasim is just, man, and Baba Baruti's connections and his narratives are just on point, you know? Today, April 3rd, we fear for things we know see. We fear for the air around us. We fear to fight for freedom. We fear to fight for liberty. We fear to fight for justice. We fear to fight for happiness. We always get reasons to fear. Fila. The fearful really think that warriors are susceptible to their tricknology. And interestingly, they believe this because the weakened qualities inherent in their menticidal limitlessness cannot even begin to allow them to imagine a warrior's inner strength. The menticidal, like liars and thieves, believe that everyone who looks like them at heart thinks like them. They cannot conceive of the manifestation of true power beyond the contradictory, benevolent, inhuman, despiritualized benevolence, treasonous definitions and images Urugu affords them. So understandably, it is beyond them to comprehend a person whose mind, heart, and spirit adheres to divine law of their own volition, a person who genuinely loves his or her people, even while feared and hated by most of them. That's a damn shame, ain't it? He loves his people, but they fear him, and some of them truly do hate him. Uprightness confuses the menticidal because the only reasonable interpretation they imitate, feverishly worshiping Urugu's way, vicarious, only able to see self-worth through the exploitation and manipulation of others who look like them, self-hating, dutifully serving Urugu's psychopathically racist chaos. Minds can give it is one of the gullibility and weakness. The minds can give it is one of gullibility and weakness. It is beyond their vision to see the strength that righteousness and warriorhood embodies because a slave cannot imagine being free. Affirm, I do not fear to fight. Affirm, I do not fear to fight. Let me read another one. April 4th. The person who is not sure of himself should put down his weapons. That great leader, Brother Thomas Sankara, Cote d'Ivoire. Let's be real. If you are so weak that the constructive critique you receive from someone actually doing the work or their failure to continuously give you all of their attention turn you away from the warrior's path, then you had no heartfelt intention to selfishly, uncompromisingly, valiantly stand as a self and ancestrally empowered example of what it means to be a frontline African anyway. Often, in our efforts to evaluate everyone, we forget that it is in the nature of punks to be punks. Affirm, I carry my weapons confident of my person and my mission. Affirm, I carry my weapons confident in my purpose and mission.
often it's our efforts to evaluate everyone. We cannot. We can forget that it is in the nature of punk ass to be that. Punks. You got a lot of them. Yeah. Brother Lusk, how you doing, Brother Ted? Are you there? You're just listening right now? Okay. I'll come back to you. Brother Irv, how you doing, my friend? How you doing, my brother?
Baba Oshi.
What's up, my
Baba
brother?
Baba Oshi.
How are you?
I'm blessed, brother. I woke up this morning with a smile on my face.
All right.
Because I went to bed with a smile on my face because I'm telling you, Baba Oshi, I was thinking about my people, and when I say this, I say it to you because I believe that you understand. You understand how you can actually give this subject of what American Africans are doing and what they're not doing. You can actually contemplate this in your head. You don't have to wait for someone to bring the subject up or wait for see something on TV to comment about. You can sit here and have some self-talk with yourself. And this is not crazy. Have self-talk and you can actually formulate a plan as to how you're going to conduct yourself because Baba Oshi, the only one I can control is Irvin.
That's right.
I can't control anybody else but myself.
That's right.
And I have to be the change that I talk about. Mm-hmm. I didn't say I have to go out and stand up on a milk cart like Al Sharpton or run up and down the street with a Quran in my hand talking about I'm Louis Farrakhan. I'm not trying to be anyone else. I'm trying to be the best Irvin that I can be. But I believe that the best Irvin that I can be is to be connected to my people, to my culture, because it all comes back to that. If you notice, Baba Oshi, when you do see the television or maybe even look in the newspaper or read a book or something, everyone is trying to get you to believe what they believe. They all have some type of purpose, some type of hidden agenda of how they want you to be. But when you find people of like mind, like yourself, Brother Luck, Brother Paul, other brothers that call and sisters that call here of like mind who understand the game that's been run on us and how we are being fooled and how it's easier to fool someone than, like I said before, than it is to convince someone they're being fooled. Mm-hmm. You know, and everything that someone does, there's an agenda about. There's a reason they do that because of the journey that they've taken. So for me, Baba Oshi, I believe that this part of my life, because of the things I've read, the people I've met, and the things that have happened to me, I think that my purpose, and you try to find where you fit in. My purpose in this life is to do everything I can to help the liberation of my people. Everything I can do to keep to get us to a place, not necessarily a level playing field, because we've already leveled it. We're actually past where we think we are. Because if you think about it, why is Arugu paying so much attention to something that can't cannot harm him? Because we can. We're not just a thorn in Arugu's side. Irugu is slowly and surely imploding in on himself. When I say him, I mean her too. They're imploding. And that's why you see all these crazy things coming out. Guys in girls' sports or men on TV with dresses or women dressed up like men or all these huge companies merging together Bill Gates buying up all his land, somebody printing meat, and all these things are happening because Arugu has lost his so-called status in this world, which he never had. The only status that a ruler has is the status that the people he rules gives him. In other words, if you're going to be a captain on a fire engine, you're only as good as the people that work under you.
That's
they
true.
Make you look good.
That's right.
You know, you can tell them what to do, but they ain't got to do a damn thing you say. But they do. And come on now. I know the truth, but it's out of respect. It's out of respect of your knowledge that people will follow you, will listen to you because of what you've said in the past makes sense to me. It resonates to me. Mm-hmm. You resonate. The message that you're saying resonates, because a lot of times, Baba Oshie, we don't speak from what we know. We speak from what's in us. What's in you is what comes out of you. If you think about it, and I don't want to get too deep with brothers and sisters on the air listening, but the reality is, man, we only go through this one time, brother. And once it's over, it's over. It's a wrap. Right. I know a lot of brothers who've come through, and they don't even speak their name anymore. When I retired, Baba Oshie, ain't nobody at my job call me, and I've been looking at them cats 35 years every day. Mm-hmm. Nobody calls me and say, hey, Herb, how you making out?
Right.
But let's be 100. I don't call them either.
You know? It's over.
It's over. It's over. Just turn the page. Yeah. But some people cannot turn the page because life is trauma, man. And you know, the kid had trauma. Everybody got trauma. Mm-hmm. Something's going to happen to all of you. God told me, I smoked with my grandmother died because that was trauma. That was trauma. Life is trauma. Even, you know, all the things that come at you is going to make you make a decision. And Baba Oshie, I'm choosing my people. I'm not ever going to give up on American Africans. I'm never going to give up on Mother Africa. We do have a homeland. We're not running over here trying to take the land from the Palestinians. We're not trying to take nobody else's nothing. We have a homeland. Mm-hmm. And it's been there. It was there before they had cities and governments before these, when the Urugu was still living in cages.
Right. We had everything before anybody had anything. And that's a fact.
Everything before they had anything. You're absolutely right. And then comes the demonic spirit. And there is a demonic spirit. You can act like it ain't if you want, but I've seen some evil things that men have done to each other. Evil, just mean for no reason. You got my order wrong, so you're going to smack somebody in the face. Huh? Mm-hmm. Who does that? But this is what happens when you, what I call culture crossing, when you try to live in someone else's culture, when you try to live in someone else's land. So come on, Baba Oshie. Mm-hmm. My parents old, so I put them in a nursing home. Take care of them. What happens if it ain't no nursing home? I didn't see a nursing home in Gambia. Where do they go? You take care of your parents, but you're living someone else's culture. Oh, my kid's 18. I put him out. You put your kids out. Mm-hmm. Who does that?
Yeah.
You know, and you can't do it now because things have cost so much.
Right.
The children can't survive. No matter how much you do for them, it's hard to survive now. So we have to do things more communal. We have to help each other. If you know how to do this, do it. I know how to do this, I'll do that. And we all will benefit from it. It's not an I thing, Baba Oshie. Mm-hmm. It's a we thing.
Right.
Stop with the individualism. That's someone else's culture. But we tend to go along to get along. We tend to get in where we fit in. You know, I got to get mine. I can't do nothing for you until I help myself. Really? You just ate two plates of food and you helping yourself? I'm just saying, Baba Oshie. We as American Africans are in a good place. We're not where we want to be, but we sure ain't where we used to be. But like I always tell Rugu when he comes up in my face, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you got upset about sin, come on now. If you, I'm sounding like a Baptist preacher.
I say.
I'm not.
Well.
Let's do something real religious. Let's take up a collection. But anyway, I'm for the speaker. but no, we they ain't seen nothing yet. And we, as we appear to make some progress, it's one step forward. It seems like it's two steps backwards, but the reality is, Baba Oshie, we ain't going nowhere. If you can go through through slavery, if you can go through redlining, and you can go through Jim Crow, and you can go through all the things that we've been through, and we still here, what kind of people are you? Mm-hmm. You American Africans must be some resilient people or something, and you still got people talking about liberation and self-determination and revolution, and because I'm telling you, it's going to work out. It's already working out. And as soon as we get that cohesiveness, that glue that brings us together, people thought it was religion, but see, religion was a con game. It was a con when you get yours on the other side. when I meet you down at the river. I'm not meeting you at the river, and I'm not getting mine on the other side. I'm going to get mine right now. I'm going to do just like I'm getting mine. You getting yours now? I'm getting mine now, but I'm going to do something different with mine. I'm going to use mine to help my people in cooperation. You're going to use yours to destroy your people in competition. It's not a competition. It's cooperation. Cooperation lends to organization. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not fighting you. You're not, me and you ain't fighting. Oh, I got a higher score than you. No, you didn't. You weren't elected. You were selected. Mm-hmm. Obama's no smarter than me. What makes you think? Oh, he got a degree, and he got a degree that makes you smart? Because I didn't learn anything in school. I learned when I got out of school more than I ever. School taught me how to learn, what to look at. Because the things they were teaching me, Baba Oshi, you know that whole George Washington chopped down a cherry tree and all that BS, and I still know it. So what if they taught me at my? What if they taught me my history, Baba Oshi, about African history? You know how many? We didn't even know how many so-called countries are in Africa. Mm-hmm. Cause ain't none. It's one Africa.
Ashe, that's right.
Come on.
Because what you see is what was done at the Nicene Conference. I mean, the Berlin Conference. What you see was done at the Berlin Conference. All those lines, all those imaginary lines that you see on a political map were done at the Berlin Conference. Europeans did that. Europeans carved up Africa like it was a piece of cake. I want this. You take that. I'll take this. You take that. You know, they did that. They did that. And they did it strategically so they could have other groups at each other. They took a piece of somebody else's land and they knew it. Because it's always about divide and conquer. It's always about having them at each other. So while we continue to do what we do, which is exploit and take and rob,
correct,
and steal.
Correct. You know? Correct.
So, yeah.
And under the auspices of helping you, I'm going to send you aid. I don't need no damn aid.
Yeah.
What I need aid for? You taking my raw materials up out of here by the plane loads.
Yeah.
What do I need aid for? We're going to send you some wheat. Wheat? Man, I don't need no damn wheat. I don't need you to bring me bread. If I want you to do anything, just let me break my own bread and sell it to you. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is all this is about, Baba Oshi. Yeah. White people are imploding because they're greedy. They are over consume things. They eat too much. They have too much. They do too much, and they don't want to share anything. Yeah. Sharing is not part of their lexicon.
No,
they're not going to share nothing.
Mm-mm. They ain't sharing nothing.
So, they ain't sharing nothing. It's a take. And now we are imitating them. And you see people like a P. Diddy or a R. Kelly who's sick because they live in a sick culture. If you live in a culture that tells you to be a pedophile, or a culture that tells you to be a homosexual, or a culture that tells you to get a house here in this coast and that coast, and then when you start to turn on the hand that feeds you, when you start to mess over these white folks' money, because don't get it twisted, when Kanye West put out those tennis shoes, it wasn't just $100,000 venture. This was $1 billion ventures with them tennis shoes. And all of a sudden, he gonna jump up and say something about the Jew that's supporting him. Where you see Kanye? He was on TV every day for a minute, and they slowly backed him on out of the limelight and brought another Negro in. Because all this is, I'm not saying that Irugu is so smart, that Irugu knows how to do all this, but Irugu is thinking down the road. He's thinking 10 years down the road, you know, and we are too. We're American Africans are not a stupid people. You can't be stupid and last this long in this environment. You can't be. Even the religion that we master, everything that you do, you master it. You, everything from sports to business, to religion, black people want to master it. But, you know, we have to realize that the only way we're going to be totally successful in this journey that we're on for our self-determination is to be cohesive. And the only thing that ties us all together, for me, is Mother Africa. We're all Africans, whether we want to say it or not. And that's what holds us together. Just like the Jew believes he's held together because he's a converted European. His bloodline doesn't go all the way back to the so-called biblical figures. And the Jew knows that. Or the Catholic think they're cohesive because they all follow behind the Pope and all that. Well, we have a cohesiveness too. And our cohesiveness is called Mother Africa. You're African. I know you don't want to say it.
Yeah.
But take
yeah.
You're the, right. Do it real slow and say it with me. I'm African. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to die African.
Yep.
You know, and it's and ain't no flies flying around my stomach. And Sally Struthers didn't buy me for 15 cents. And I'm not feeding the whole family for four. Come on, stop, Bob Oshie. Come on. So, but no, really quickly, I'm gonna get off, let someone else speak. But I was looking at Senegal, who has a new president.
Yes.
Yeah.
Congratulations to that young brother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and think about the thing about these younger people that are coming in. Like in Burkina Faso, they have a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
The mindset is not one of, I'm going to get a bunch of money and my family's going to live good. No, they're coming in. At least they're talking. We are going to do this and we are going to provide jobs and we're going to separate ourselves from Arugu. France has to go. The United States has to go. China has to go. The deals we make are going to be deals with that put us on a level playing field, mm-hmm. and not these, you know, these 20-80 deals. We're going to do some more like 30-70 deals, you know, where we keep the bulk of the money. We keep the industry here. We don't send any more raw materials out. Everything else is everything we send out is going to be something that's that we can sell and not a raw material that we manufacture. And you can do that.
Yeah.
So no, brother, they have a different mind, and I love it because Africa. It's changing. We have to get over there. You have to make a pilgrimage to Africa if you've never been there. You have to see it for yourself. You have to look through the tourist things and see what really is going on in Africa and how the Africans, they don't hate you. And it doesn't matter about the whole don't like me. Hell, white people don't like you. Mm-hmm. But what we have to understand is that we're all African. And that living in this country, we're never, ever going to live in our culture. We're going to live in someone else's culture, and we're better than that. And our ancestors tell us that, and we've seen it. So no, brother, I just wanted to say that, brother. Don't get me on my soapbox, man. I just go on it.
Hey, brother, I know, I love you for it, man. I appreciate you for sure.
Yeah, I love you too.
Man. All right, man.
I
hang
really
on.
Do.
Hang on.
Oh, you know, I ain't going nowhere.
All right, yes, brother. Sir. Peace. Yeah, that's my good friend, my co-host, Brother Irv Lewis. Out of Baltimore now, on the left coast. Yeah, brother Ted sent me a a text. So once he comes back, I think that'll be cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going to read from Baba Baruti's book, Identity, and Nation Building. That's what we're going to talk about today. Nation building. You know? Because some of us think that we can transform this. You know, some of us think that we can change this system, this environment. And really believe that we can. Some of us believe that because of our suffering, it's redemptive. And those who are responsible will have a change of heart and mind and will look at us and treat us respectfully. Now, for those of us, of course, who know better, because as the saying goes, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history. Look at the history of the European and in his relationship to others. Look at the history of the European in its human development. Look at the history of the European when he came on the scene as Greeks, came on the scene as Romans, came on the scene as awakening Renaissance Urugu, and began to go around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of Spain, Portugal, France, England, Germany, you name it, they did it. Belgium got the prize right in the middle, the Congo. And Leopold, cutting off hands and feet, where they even have chocolate hands in Belgium. Belgium chocolate, Swiss chocolate. Sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, family, but sometimes as I look at this, man, it angers me so bad, I gotta take a breath, you know. Because I always say, you know, this stuff is so bad that's why I don't give you my opinion, because my opinion is profane. I hate what the hell these son of a I hate it with a passion. So what I try, brothers and sisters and family, to give you is the scholarly work of our brothers and sisters, our men and women, all those brothers and sisters from contemporary at this time to in the past, our great scholars, men and women without foundation money, without grant money, wanted to reclaim, recapture, and recover the history of our people. I praise them. I honor them. So, we're going to look at what I think out of Baba Baruti's book, Identity, Nation Building. Nation building has been correctly defined along similar lines by Kwame Akatu in his book, Nation Building, Theory and Practice in African-Centered Education. He describes it as a conscious and focused application of our people's collective resources, energy, and knowledge to the task of liberating and developing the psyche and the physical space that we identify as ours. It involves the development of behaviors, values, language, institutions, and physical structures that elucidate our history and culture, concretize in the practice and the protection, and to protect the present and ensure the future identity and independence of the nation. Nation building is a deliberate, keenly directed, and focused and energetic projection of a national culture and a collective identity. Thus, in nation building, Africans must not be confused as to our direction or the need to be de-Europeanized ourselves by stripping our thought and behavior of alien imperatives. We are not Europeans. I repeat, we are not Europeans. We are not trying to help them establish their new old world order by molding ourselves into something other than our ancestors and redefining that as African. Nation building must be understood as a process of reconnection and continuity. Nation building does not start with a blank slate. Nation building is not about creating a new man or a new cultural reality using elected cultural and ideological borrowings from a panoramic variety of cultural informations and philosophies. For us, nation building is an intergenerational process, a progressive but intense denuding ourselves of multi-generational layers of alien values and thinking, and the progressive adoption and immersion of ourselves in the culture and the work of rebuilding. Nation building also involves self-education, in that without knowledge of self, we cannot proceed with creating the spirit of what once was in effect. Without knowledge, the why and how of what has always existed for Africans, as well as the why and the how of Urugu's violent reaction to us and our progressive, regressive adaptation to them, we cannot look at the contemporary reality and bring a nation of people into this anti-African arena accepting them to be uncompromisingly be themselves and thrive. That can't happen. We cannot, I repeat, we cannot do it here. This is not ours. And I don't give a damn how much you whine and cry. Well, it's just as much ours as it is theirs, because, you know, we fought the Indians too. Man, shut up. We helped build this. We helped build the White House. Give a damn. Nation building starts with individuals and their families developing a knowledge base and talent. In time, they join with other persons and families who have worked equally hard to accomplish a similar level of centered consciousness for the same reason. For these small groups of families and larger extended families, or rather communities, will form. And these communities beginning a communal journey forward toward their ancestral way are bound together by their sense of umoja, unity. Common cultural and political interests, kujichagulia. A sense of umoja, which is a common cultural and political interest, unity. Kujichagulia, self-determination, refusal to be defined or directed by aliens. Ujima, agree upon divisions of labor based on an appreciation of each other's respective talents, including the establishment of common space, faculty, and pedagogy for educating our children and adults alike. Collective work and responsibility, family. That's what I just read to you. Ujamaa, collective pooling, management, and distribution of materials and non-material resources. Ujamaa, pulling our resources together. Nia, holding sacred the purpose of building their communities into an African nation. That is our purpose. We need to sometimes stop for a minute and ask, what is our purpose? What is our ultimate goal? What are we trying to achieve? And damn it, if your ass ain't trying to achieve independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, yeah. What are we trying to achieve? Nia, our purpose. Kumba, determination to find unique and appropriate ways to confront the old and the new problems inherent in claiming independence of mind, body, and soul. Man, that's, you know, I love Baba Baruti, man. Determined Kumba, our creativity. Our creativity is to find unique and appropriate ways to confront the old and new problems inherent in claiming independence of the mind, body, and soul. And of course, Imani, conscious over which African spiritual systems best suit them, one and all. A consensus over which African spiritual systems best suit them, one and all. I, you know, I know the majority of our people, and it may change, and I said still the majority of our people are Christian. If I look at the world and where we are, look at the continent, and look at the United States, where we are here, and of course looking at other parts of the world, the Caribbean, where we are in Central and South America. So the majority of our people, could be said that they are Christian. And then, of course, a good number of our people are Muslim. Some of our people are Muslim and not African. They're Muslims. You know? Some of our people are Hebrew. They're not, you know, the Jews that you see who are in Israel. In fact, that made a distinction when Ben-Amin took the brothers and sisters. Ben-Amin, of course, coming out of Chicago into the Southeast, formulated his brothers and sisters together, and then brought them first into Liberia. Then they moved across Africa into Israel, Dimona, Israel, the black Hebrew Israelites. And, of course, the European Jews, they've always messed with them and will always probably mess with them, but they have a part of land in Dimona, Israel, that they live and worship and so forth. Now, they're not part of, these European Jews and what they do. And so, in terms of nation building, I love the fact that you use the Nguza Saba, the seven principles of Kwanzaa. The seven principles of Kwanzaa. Before I continue, let me do this as you're listening. Because you just used the seven principles of Kwanzaa, of Umoja, which is the bottom line to Kwanzaa. The bottom line, unity. That's the first principle, but that is the bottom line. It's unity. Self-determination, Kujichagulia. Collective work responsibility, Ujima. Cooperative economics, spending money with each other, trusting one another, believing in one another, building and growing with one another, Ujamaa. Nia, purpose. What is our purpose? What is our purpose individually? What is our purpose collectively? And understand that our purpose individually goes with the collective. Because what I do as an individual should support the collective. Because it's not about me and getting mine. I got mine. Get yours. It's about us. Purpose. Creativity. Kumba. Creativity. Not just the creativity that we had since are coming into consciousness on this planet and building societies and building nations and of course to the grand building of Kemet and the monuments and the temples and tombs. It's more than just that. Kumba, creativity, the creative mind. And we need that creative mind because we need to build an African society. We're talking about nationhood. And of course, Imani, faith, a belief. That's what he said about, to look at the belief system and which one best suits us. I'm saying right now, because they're not ours. They're not African. Get one developed that's African. You can borrow here and there, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But the bottom line is that it must be, and it must speak to who we are as African people. But there's, you know, I do this around Kwanzaa, and I've done this on this program, and always will. Talk about the number 13. The number 13 in the society, they wanted the number 13 to be evil, a bad number, you know, an evil number. Because they do that, you know, the Friday the 13th, the series, there was a series on that. Of course, there was a movie, Friday the 13th. The number 13 is a bad number. But of course, that's what they wanted you to think. Because they understood and they knew from time before, looking at ancient Kemet, looking at other theologies. The number 13, 12 completes a cycle. There's 12 signs in the zodiac, plus the sun, 13. There's 12 disciples of Jesus, plus Jesus, 13. There's 12 people at the round table, the knights at the round table. Plus King Arthur, 13. The number 13. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. And so how can we put the number 13 into the lives of our everyday lives to transform us, to prepare and to propel us into being the Africans that we need to be? So you have the 7 principles of Kwanzaa. Add to them the 5 C, the first C. Is consciousness. Consciousness. The dedication of this program is to raise the consciousness of our people. I am committed to helping to raise the consciousness of African people. Consciousness. The next C, because you have consciousness, you have courage. Because you have consciousness, you have courage. Courage, you don't fear anything. You are bold. You do things in the respectful and then in the right way. People respect you and admire you and appreciate you for who you are as a person. And your courage. Because of that courage, you got a lot of confidence. You know you can get the promotion. You know you can do the work. You have confidence. That's the third C. The fourth C, conscience. Knowing what is right and wrong and doing what's right. Standing on principle. Standing on integrity. Do what's right. Do what's right. Be an example. Be somebody that people would admire. People would want to emulate. And the last C, conviction. Nah, you didn't graduate this year because of whatever circumstances were happening within you and your family and so forth. But because you stick to it, you graduated and you did it well. Or you built something. No, you couldn't finish it on the time that you told everybody and you explained that, but you eventually, you did it. You fixed it. You made it happen. So you have those 7 principles. And you have those 5 C's. 7 plus 5 is how much? 12 plus you? 13. Imagine if we put the number 13 into our daily lives. principles of Kwanzaa, or even Ma'at, the principles of Ma'at. Truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, balance. We have everything we need, family. The only thing that we don't have, the only thing that we don't have is our right minds. Excuse me, family. We're going to take a break. We come back from the break. We'll continue nation building and answer any questions that you may have. I appreciate you listening. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Once again, brothers and sisters, thank you. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. Excuse me, family. I apologize about that. Listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network.com. Man, I tell you, sometimes, you know, but I appreciate it. I love the fact that I'm able to do this. I really do. That was Herbie Hancock from the Man Child album. Hang up your hang-ups. Yeah. I heard that last week and heard it in so long. I was like, wow, Herbie Hancock. You know. And he's still with us. That's a beauty. So I'm going to continue with our identity from Baba Baruch's book, Identity, in the chapter on nation building. I just went through the principles of Kwanzaa, the seven principles and the five C's, and how we can incorporate them into our everyday lives to be the kind of people we need to be and to do the things that are necessary for us to do. So, the innermost sanctuaries of these communities, small and large, located throughout the diaspora and on the motherland, form the nuclei of our nation-building effort. Because we recognize the immensity of our struggle to regain ourselves as an African people and the forces which quickly array against any highly visible, undeveloped, massive nation-building effort, we know that we must start small, ensure. We recognize that public advertising, mass organizing, loud voices, flamboyancy have done little in our past but serve individual egos and set us up as easy targets for the predators from the caves of the Caucasus Mountains and Eurasian plains and their allies. Therefore, we know that if we are to be successful in this crucial endeavor, we must quietly do the work of building the foundation of a nation that will close ranks gradually through the coming generations. It is not a secret that the struggle toward building, excuse me, family, an African nation will be a long and arduous one. The wisdom of Africa teaches us that when a stick is bent too far in one direction, it will have to be bent even further in the other direction in order for it to once again become straight. In our historical retrospective, we have learned that we are to do it right. If what we do is certain in the seed, the concentrated strength and determination that make liberation an easy and natural fight, if it is an honor that is truly to be earned and therefore deserving of the greatest protection, then it will be more than well worth the wait of the many generations that it will take to move families into communities and then into areas which easily flow into a Pan-African nation. Students of the African way should be warned, however. They have to be made aware of the naive innocence and gullibility that accompany such a sympathetic, all-embracing political philosophy. They have to be taught about those among us who despise who they are and therefore will work to destroy any effort to organize Africans around Africa. They must vigilantly look out for imposters, individuals and groups who profess African ideologies but symptomatically corrupt what is African with its innately others must be discovered and rooted out of our movement. Among these are practically those pretenders to any makeshift African throne who work so hard to graft European abnormalities into African traditions. So they, the Urugu, they imitate, and the love they have for Urugu and their ways can appear to be normal historical human progressions. Our reinforcements must be made aware of that. While all Africans may have the innate potential to do and be so, each and every one of us does not know and may never have the spiritual mental capacity to be African. All who inhabit our centers must be clear that they are fighting to rebuild a protected, solvent, long-living humanistic nation of and for all African people whose choice it is to be African. This is the vision that is only awaiting our spiritual, psychological, and physical rescue from the deadly grip of Western culture and society. So the workers of our way must be clear that the war effort will demand all of their energy, as well as that of other genocidal efforts against us will not cease with them. However, we choose to look at it from within the African Center. For us, nation building is the only viable, intellectually and commonsensically defensible Sankofian process. I repeat, however, we choose to look at it from within the African Center. For us, nation building is the only viable and intellectually and commonsensically defensible Sankofian process. Through it, through the process of acting as our ancestors would in this reality, and defending our abilities to do so, we rebuild our nation. Nationhood is the inevitable outcome of their hopes and dreams for us. As a group, collective movement, nation building brings together two distinct concepts and aspirations, each powerful beyond words in its own right. Nation speaks to the outcome of who is included in it. It is a statement about the large-scale political organization and organizational structure of a whole, self-aware people. It speaks to the political state and existence wherein a people voluntarily and consciously hold themselves accountable to each other and see themselves as divinely empowered to stand in this spiritual space. The other part of this concept building directs our attention toward this movement as a process with activities concretely tied to a promise and a vision of sovereignty. Be not deluded. Unequivocally know that there is no nation building if the vision is not one of sovereignty. Unequivocally know that there is no nation building if the vision is not one of sovereignty. Neither let the idea of sovereignty be segmented according to the hierarchical ratings of the energies. For nation building is a process which is inclusive of all the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical energies at a people's disposal. Has some caught up in Urugu's relative measurement of everything has a greater or lesser might misimagine a people's reconstruction is not limited to mechanical technology or physical exertion. Neither is it limited to those with the greatest energy or drive or the most articulate and eloquent voices. This is the grassroots work of all who would be African. For Africans, nation building is the process by which our sanity is rebuilt. Nation building involves the social, cultural reorganization of African people globally towards the reconstruction of the spiritual, psychological, and physical African nation. It is the process through which African people become sovereignly empowered as a politicized, self-defining, and self-directing world people who consciously pursue their interests in the face of an antagonistic of others. The call of nationhood and the conditions that brought us to this desperate point in the first place requires that we accomplish this phenomenal collective fate with our historical remembrance to the fullest extent of our capabilities as a people, wherever we live on this planet, without fear, comprehension, or regret over the decision to be African. Ashe. To be African. Yeah, family. We have work to do. We have work to do. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. Brother Ted Lusk.
Bubba, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, my friend.
Here's my contribution for the day, sir.
Okay.
Here's mine.
Okay.
In this quest for nation building, the God who created the earth, who created the sun that gives us light, the God who holds up the oceans, who makes the thunder roar, our God who hears, who has ears to hear, you who are hidden in the clouds, who watch us from where you are. You see all that the white has made us suffer. The white man's God asked him to commit crimes, but the God within us wants to do good.
I say.
Our God, who is so good, so just, he orders us to revenge our wrongs. It's he who will direct our arms and bring us to victory. It's he who will assist us. We all should throw away the image of the white man's God.
I say.
Who is so pitiless. Listen to the voice for liberty that speaks in all of our hearts. Bookman's prayer.
I say.
I offer this on this day.
Yes. Bookman duty.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Brother Ted Lusk. Thank you
always. Thank
so
you
much.
For allowing me to hear.
Yes. Brothers and sisters, the Haitian Revolution of 1804. Bookman duty said, throw away the white man's God and you will be free. He didn't say you might be free. He didn't say you could be free. He didn't say maybe you be free. He said you will be free. I say.
I often wonder that I had been I've been looking at Sankofa real early in this morning.
Okay, yeah.
Something made me just, you know, pop it up. And I thought to ask the question, of all the arts, how is it that we have never carried over the art of magic with us? Certain people did,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was as though this ought to be something that ought to be part of our development. Now, some people used to say, oh, man, you know, you believe in God. You know, God is the greatest of everything. And that's, but we had magic.
Right.
We had a kind and type of magic that produced results. And that's why I went to Bookman's prayer, to reinforce that. And I just wonder, why haven't we been taught that? We see all of the images. And I remember talking with you last about the sculptured part that's been opened here in Montgomery,
right. Yes.
Since the 27th of last month. And sure, I would want to be part and to look at that, right? But there are things that's embedded inside of us. We know it's there, right? We know it's there. And so it's got to be something that's got to drive it out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I refer to Bookman's prayer to hope that this driving this out of us, this energy that needs to be resurged from us. Now, you know, some people say magic, oh, we're living in this age of Christianity, right? And religion and religiosity. And, you know, hey, everybody has their way. But you know, as one looks onto mm-hmm. oneself in the mirror and looks at the reflection of him or herself within that mirror and ask those three basic questions. I've said it before.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? That reflection turning back, looking back with you to you and saying, well, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
And then in unison together, who are we together? And so this energy, this drive, the sun is about to come now. Understand we're going into the summer solstice, right?
Right.
And if things go correctly. And so it is high time that this energy be resurged and something happens. And so that's I wanted to make that part known, and especially it was something that drove me while I was looking at Sankofa. It's a pretty, I think that's 1993, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
back then. And I would hope that Hollywood and this imagery, yes, sure, it may have its parts, But we know it's more than that. And so it's just whatever it takes for us to get ourselves together, plant ourselves firmly onto the ground and to fight and to become warriors and to push along the energy and efforts that needs to be done to make us better people.
Ashe. Yes. Thank you so much, dear brother. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you for taking my call, Bubba.
Always. Always.
Already.
Brother, Brother Ted Lusk, man, appreciate you, man. And he brought Bookman Duty, this prayer, which helped make the Haitian Revolution the success that it was. But we all know what happened afterwards, and we see that even today, how chaotic, what a mess. Brother Irv, you did you want to end? Brother Irv. Okay. Well, we got a number of you in the queue already. You know what to do. Hit star twice. That'll get you.
Papa Oshie.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Brother Irv. Yes.
I just wanted to say Ashe to that brother.
Yeah.
Because when he was speaking, it was so powerful what he was saying. And I was waiting for you to tell me who it was so I could write it down. Because I learned this show is my school, is my teaching, and I learn from it because I research it. But I when he was speaking, it was just powerful what he was saying. I'm like, wow, these words that are coming out this brother's mouth are just they're moving me. And I'm telling you, words do move you. And that's not to say, Baba Oshie, I don't think for myself or I believe everything I hear, but what I do is I listen. And it's a difference between hearing and listening. You can hear a fire engine come down the street with the siren blowing, but you don't listen to it. Mm-hmm. But you can hear some people talk, because I remember hearing Jesse Jackson holler, "I am somebody."
Yeah.
But I didn't listen to that because it was just chanting. He was just I'm listening to Dr. John Henry Clark. I'm listening to Francis Crest Walsing. I'm listening. I'm listening not to respond. I'm listening to understand. And that's a different type of listening. When that brother started speaking, when he was saying what he was saying, I was listening to understand where that was really coming from. And when you speak up words, when you put words together so eloquently as what he was saying, that was moving me, man. I was like, this is, I don't know if it's just me or is it anybody, because the Africa in me comes out when I hear someone speaking like that, because that's powerful. It was to the point where it made me want to do something. And when someone can speak and make you want to do something, mm-hmm. it's the truth that's moving you, because in speaking is truth. And even when I listen to you speak, when you were just speaking, you don't have to raise your voice to get your point across. But when you do, that even emphasizes it even more. But I hear you loud and clear. I hear the cry of our people, because I can't lift up no higher than the condition of my people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be no better than them. I mean, I got a car. I got what my people do. You know, it gets frustrating sometimes, Bob Ocean. I know I sound repetitious sometimes when I speak, but I get so tired of fighting this system. The system of white supremacy, racism, and all these things that try to keep us back, because, Baba Oshie, the system blurs the line to make you believe, oh, you hate white people. I don't hate white people.
Right.
I hate what right. the white man represents.
Yes.
I hate what they perpetuate. I hate the system
yes.
of racism, white supremacy.
Yes.
So don't run around telling me who I hate. I work with white folks all my life. You know, some of the things that have happened to me because of people who look like me. All skin folk ain't kin folk. But by the same token, I don't give up on my people, because Europeans don't give up on their people. They look after them. Why do you think they sending money to the Ukraine? Because they look after their brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think you sent billions of your dollars to Israel to kill people? Because they look after their brethren. And we have to realize that we don't give up on our people. I'm not going to let you take advantage of me, but we don't give up on our people. And that's just how I feel, my
brother. Right on, brother. I appreciate it. Not I. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good afternoon or good morning or good, well, actually, good evening to you, Brother Paul.
Absolutely, Baba Ochi. And yes, absolutely, what a platform and so much deliberation, so much brilliant talk. And while I let me just extend my courtesy and send this out in the ether and give thanks to the ancestors and say, give thanks for life, because absolutely every breath we take is a bonus. You know, we can only do better. Baba Ochi, you know, is the caller who rings in, Ted Lust, is his name Theodore Lust?
Yes.
Do you know what? All the time, I did not realize I was communicating with this man. I know he was he introduced himself as a listener, but I didn't realize he was the same caller
yes.
who was ringing. I didn't realize, you know, mm-hmm. fantastic. You know, sorry about that, but I didn't. Fantastic, brilliant. You know, through this platform and other platforms, I've actually managed to communicate with some brilliant people. You know, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that because in communicating with them, Baba Ochi, it's a two-way thing. I know that the what I do is not futile.
Right.
I know what I do. You know, is what we do is having an effect. And I thank you for sitting in and doing this, Baba Ochi. Because if it wasn't for you and others, those who put together this platform and do the work, this may not be possible. But you're doing the work, and you're doing what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something our brother said, he talked about Sankofa.
Right.
And what that has done for me when I fully understood it, I'm not going to say fully understood it, when I was on the path to, because we're always learning, yeah?
That's right. I'm always on that. Yeah. I'm always on that path, brother, always,
to
the day I expire. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. There's no ultimatum. It's just a continual learning process. But in along that learning process, what I realized in Sankofa, because I remember having a debate with a brother, and he was saying that I talk about going back to the source. And he says, what source? And I thought to myself, well, you see, when you're on this path of truth, you get downloads from the ancestor, because he posed that question to me. He says, what source? And it automatically came to me at that point, not that I knew before or I had examined it, but at that point he asked me the question, it came to me. There's only one source. It just came to me. And after I put that to him, there's only one source, I even questioned it myself because it was like a download. I had no information to verify it. And I kept challenging myself, what do I mean, only one source? And the more I said it to myself, the more I realized that's the truth. It's only one source, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, we are all energy. Everything's just energy, and energy is always connected throughout the divine universe. Everywhere in the infinity, energy is connected. You understand? So when we talk about going back to ourselves or going back, that means to me, how I translate that, you go within yourself, meaning that you might meditate. You know, if you go to Tibet, you see these monks,
right,
and they spend weeks and even years on this meditation thing because they actually, their spiritual body leaves their soul, leaves the physical, and they go on the astral travel, mm-hmm, on another dimension. That's what that translates as. This is possible. This is possible. And I know it's possible because I've met these people.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fortunate. I realize now I've been fortunate. Three of them come to mind, and they've done things in my presence which I know is impossible. I've witnessed it. They've said things to me which I know was impossible. They could not know these things, but they've told me about me. And I've never met these people. Explain, even giving me names of people which I knew. And I was looking at them thinking, how the hell have you done that?
Right.
Well, other people have told me how they do it. There's the I think it's the Ashkatic record, which is all your deeds are recorded. This is not fantasy, Baba Ochi, because it can be explained. For instance, ferrite, the material ferrite, which they used to use in tape recorders. You know the brown material in tape? Mm-hmm. Ferrite, yeah? It's the same material you get in brick, right? It's the same material you get in stone. So if you think the stone ain't recording it, like for instance, when somebody feels they see a ghost, it's actually the stone has recorded energy. It's the same material they use in a tape to record. You understand? And what they are actually recording is not your voice. It's the frequency of your voice. When you get a recording, it's actually the frequency was being recorded. It can be recorded in one of the optical forms, like CD, laser.
Right.
That's a frequency. That's a frequency which is recorded on a disc. It's all frequency. We are frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So it's not hocus pocus and fairy tales. You can prove it scientifically. And then you can look at the number 369. Our brother talks about magic. 369 are very special numbers. 369. They come in the realm of what mathematicians refer to as vortex maths. Vortex maths. That's interdimensional. 369. They have special powers, special abilities. You understand? And that is the scientific translation of magic. Yes, we did know these things. We understood these things. What's happened to us, they've taken our magic and turned it into what they call science and turned it into what they call observation, right? And then they've given us third-party ideologies. So we now have to go through third-party ideologies. We have to go through... I have to tell the truth, Baba Ochi. We have to go through Muhammad to get to God. We have to go through Jesus to get to God. We have to go through the Pope to get to God. They tell us that the Pope is a representative of God. What kind of madness is that?
Mm-hmm.
We are divine beings, but we just don't know it anymore because they've tricked us, hoodwinked us, and bamboozled us. I just want to follow on from what our brother was saying, because he's absolutely on point. Magic is real. It's real. But the word magic is an English word. We had greater understanding. And the last thing I'm going to say, Baba Ochi, when we use these words, right, the thing is, using a word just gives you a descriptive form. You're just describing something. You put a description in it. Just because I call a dog doesn't mean it is a dog.
Right.
Just because I call a lion doesn't mean it is a lion. Yeah, I call you African American. That doesn't mean that's what you are. You understand? You're much greater than that, and that's the problem I have with labels. You are much greater than that. They have to label you to bring you down, to make you almost irrelevant. And people actually identify themselves by this name. And I think it's totally crazy, because we are divine beings. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. So how are you going to define me by a flag or where I was born? Because a lion's born an African lion's born in the New York Zoo, don't make it a New York lion. It's an African lion. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the reality of our position.
It's still a lion wherever it is. Still a lion, right, wherever it is, and its origin is Africa.
And a lion knows that. It's only we don't know that. That's why we define ourselves by names, where we're born. Oh, where we're born. That's me. Yeah? I'm born in East London, so call me East London. That's madness. Mm-hmm. Madness. And that's what they've done to us with their indoctrination. And we regurgitate it like we're crazy parrots, like we have no critical thinking, like we don't want to think outside the box. So I love what my brother says. I absolutely warm to it, because they have taken our magic where he talks about, it's not a label, it's us. It's in your DNA. It's written into it. But they've removed you from your DNA, giving you labels, job titles, all kind of nonsense they're calling you. And you're regurgitating it like you're crazy and out of your mind. Baba Ochi, you do a fantastic job, and I love the interjection. Thank you.
Thank you, too, Brother Paul. Appreciate it, man. Always bringing something to put on the minds of our people, because that's what this program is all about. Changing the African mind, making sure that we think outside the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us, release the vice grip that they have on our minds. And the only way you release the vice grip is to listen to people like you and others, to listen to our ancestors, to listen to our our esteemed elders, to listen to those knowledgeable ones. And not just to listen, because by listening, the main thing is that you do. Everything that you are being instructed is really and wanting to cause an action in you. Some people just listen, okay, I heard it, this is cool, and then they go on with their lives. No, this is the purpose, is to help transform, to help change a mindset, and to help give us the direction that we need as a people to overcome this madness. Sister, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, my sister. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the program.
Thank you.
And appreciate all the intake, the input. And I was agreeing with, I guess it was Brother Irv and Paul about magic being real. And that's I thought about Haitian Africa, our sisters and brothers and our people. They was using that voodoo to overthrow the oppression and all the, the murders, thieves, and all the fake name folks. So we've been using that, and it's a good thing.
Well, the thing is this. That's what they did to get them, to take the yoke off of them late 17 and the early 1800s. And in 1804, they finally overthrew the French and everybody else. Kicked their ass out of Haiti.
Using their spirituality and their voodoo and their strength and all our ancestors.
And then what happened? Of course, Christianity came into a stronghold. They elicited the assistance, at least the Spanish did, because they had the whole island. The whole island was there.
Oh, you didn't get that.
The Spanish came in, and they took the eastern portion of the island, and then the America, the British, and then made Haiti pay reparations.
They've been attacking us all along.
We're in constant attack by these people. It's relentless.
And I like the way. So we stand in support with them. I like the way that they're having an uprising. You know, they're having a revolution, and a lot of it, they're calling a lot of the Africans in Haiti engaged in this battle as they're calling them gangs and everything. But
they're calling them what?
Maybe some of those, but it's a lot of those that are revolutionary.
Sisters.
And the people should be able to, the people make their own decisions. The U.S. is trying to come in with all their propped up positions, trying to, install all these false leaders and what have you.
What did you say Sister Abia, what did you say they are calling them?
Well, I don't know. What did I say? False leaders? The U.S. is, they propagate and they put in their who they want to be the president.
Oh, okay, false leaders. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, well.
What you got up there?
I don't know. That's why I didn't hear it correctly.
Okay,
I apologize.
Yeah.
But,
the U.S., they're full of imperialism.
Of course.
And their imperialistic ways.
Yeah.
And they keep propagating these false leaders. So I'm just giving, I'm saying hands off Haiti for the Africans to, to make their own destiny. Okay, they have this maneuver, this brainwashing thing where they said, let the U.S. come in and decide who your president is. Let Kenya be the police force and work with the U.S. to decide. And the ones that are there, who you call a gang, they can't be at the table.
Right.
They can't be. So it's a protracted struggle. So I'm just saying hands off Haiti and supporting them. But Herb, that thing I just, Herb was, he was making a comment about, you seem like he was, and I appreciate what Herb said, it's always positive and very insightful insightful. He was making a point that it seems like he has a concern that people will say that he hates white people. I'm just saying hate means like an intense or passion dislike. And I have a intense dislike and passion for what they've done and who they are for doing that. And so I, you know, so I'm not apologetic about it. And I say that I think there was a comment about how the white people stand together. But I don't want to give them too much credit.
Here's an example.
The white people be killing. Like, look at Ukraine. They're talking about Ukraine. Yes,
they're murderous people. Sister.
They fight each other.
Yeah, sister. Here's an example of that. Sister Abia.
The protesting, what they're doing, all the fighting they're doing with Benignyahu.
Yes.
I mean, they have thousands and thousands of them in the streets, barging, trying to barge into his house and trying to overthrow him. So they see, it's not like they all stick together either. I mean, they're an abomination themselves. Maybe fighting and hating and killing themselves.
Well, here's an example how these, how the European is. You know, when last year in the NCAA Williams basketball tournament, when Iowa and Louisiana State University, LSU and Iowa, met for the championship. Iowa has Caitlin Clark, who is a fantastic shooter, no doubt about it. And their team came up against Angel Reese and her players, of which one of the players, Flajay Johnson, I know personally because she trains with my grandson, you know, Flajay. Yeah. And so they won the game. They won the game last year. And
the sister won the game last year.
And what Caitlin Clark was doing was, you know, the thing that you wave your hand in front of your face, you can't see me, you know, and stuff like that.
Oh.
And so as the game was winding down, Angel Reese did the same thing to Caitlin Clark and pointed to her finger to say, I got the ring. I got the championship, you know. Well, when they lost the other night, in the press conference, Angel Reese, in tears, said, this whole year, I've been constantly attacked. I've been sexualized.
I've heard that. Right.
And I imagine that so, because crackers or Caucasians, Europeans or Urugu are very vindictive. They want it their way. And so I can imagine that once the sister, you know, won the championship, they started harassing her, calling her, sending emails and so forth and so on, you know. And so she pretty much said that's what happened, you know. Now,
you know, Bob Oshie, that was coming on some kind of news today, too. And they still doing it because the sister was talking about there was this guy, this white boy that was attacking them and saying they're dirty. You know, these women are dirty and attack, making these real negative racial attacks.
Right.
I mean, they just did that just recently. I mean, after she won that team, they're just dirty and slutty. They're not like the up, you know, the clean, pristine white group, white team.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that they are very violent prone people. It is who they are. It's what they are.
Yes.
And that's, history has proven that out, you know, that's what they have done. And so there's nothing that we can do or say to change that. That's why, to me, all of the appeals, all of the prayers, all of the begging is not going to change this dynamic. You know, it's not going to change it. It is what it is. And the only thing that we got to do is stop the madness and begin to work towards our own. To work towards doing for self. You know?
Pan-Africanism or Paris.
That's right. Just like I read from Baba Baruti's book, Identity, I read Nation Time. Nation building. I used to have I remember back in the day, and I know you remember, Habil, that, you know, what time is it? Nation Time.
Nation Time.
That's right. This is Nation Time. And that, even then, I had an understanding of it because I was involved in organizations that talked about that. They didn't mean the United States. It's Nation Time. Get into the United States and reform it, change it, make it more so that they respect who we are and what we... No. They're talking about a nation, a separate entity of our own. I look at it now as Africa, our nation, our land, our sovereignty, our potential. That's what it is. And that's the nation building that we need to exercise. It's not here. It's not in the belly of the beast, so to speak. It's not here in this system. We can't do a damn thing here.
Well, I feel you too. I think there's some things. I think we need to be doing both. Preparing and moving to our motherland. But while we are here, there's some things that we must do and can do.
Well, the things why we are here is to prepare to move there. We're not appealing to anybody. The only thing we're doing is educating ourselves to build a nation. We're preparing ourselves to do the foundational work. We're preparing ourselves to do the educational work. We're preparing ourselves to do everything that it's going to take to make that nation strong and as an example for the rest of the world. Here we are having the access to a continent that has all of the resources. More so than any other area on this planet.
Yeah.
On this planet. That's why everybody wants it except us. Everybody wants a part of Africa. Who are going there, the Chinese. I just saw some video of Chinese abusing this African. I mean, just beating him.
You saw a Chinese person beating an African?
Yes, on the continent, in Africa. Yes.
No, we can't let that stand.
See, no, we shouldn't.
That's what's being.
But that's what's being done. That's what's happening.
Back or what?
That's what's happening. There are certain areas. That's what's happening.
He wasn't fighting back.
You know, he couldn't fight back.
Why he couldn't? You said it was a Chinese man that was beating a black man, and he couldn't fight back.
No, he was tied. He was just being beaten.
The Chinese man came and attacked him. He couldn't fight him back. Is that what?
He was tied. He was tied. I mean, let me be more specific. He was tied up.
Oh, dang.
And just being beaten around by other Chinese.
Like apartheid.
Yes, exactly. Just like the Caucasians in South Africa, the same thing. And that's still happening. One of the things that I think for us, because we don't educate ourselves, we rely on the education of our enemy. That we truly don't understand the dynamics that are happening around the world as it relates to African people. And we don't close ranks and pull our resources to defend ourselves and to better ourselves. We don't do it.
Yes, we got to do more of that. Yeah, we got to do more of that. That's right.
So, you know, I know we're about to close, sister, and I appreciate you and all those who listen all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
be before the Hoye, our victorious destiny, my sister, and we will be victorious. We will. You know, we may not see it.
We will win.
You know, but the only thing for me, I would like to feel and see physically, to some degree, knowing that we're coming into that direction, that we're moving in that direction as an African people. As opposed to kowtowing, begging, and pleading crackers, our enemy, Urugu, to be a part of their madness. That's the only thing I would love to see. I would love to see that, you know, movement in force where now we're educating ourselves. We're relying on information that will protect us. Brother Paul, go ahead.
Bob Alchie, sorry to cut in like this here, but I want to say something here. You talk about that, right? Yes, that is the way, absolutely. And you talk about these things that happen on the continent, right? Which you rightfully say, look, from my humble observations, I'm not asking anybody to accept this or not, but a lot of the responsibility, what you're talking about, that responsibility is on our shoulders, and we're not really fulfilling that as we should. Right. And you know what really bothers me? We have the tools to do it,
yes.
And the tools don't cost you a penny, but we're not doing it. We're not doing it. You know, I was watching, I'm not going to say no names, but there's a brother in Harlem, which I'm very familiar with, yeah? And he does some work. I've seen him come onto the Facebook when Facebook started. I've seen the whole progress. I was just watching a show he was doing just recently. And you know what? I had to hold my head. The type of arguing about, You got this group who call themselves indigenous group. Look, the point I'm trying to make, I can't remember the name, but they got all these different names they call themselves, man, and they're arguing for 3 hours about that. You know what? I'm saying to myself, my good Lord, we have the communication to educate our brothers on the continent right from here, right here, yes. And educate them.
Yes.
But we're not really doing it. And it's not that we haven't got the tools. You just set up a WhatsApp group. There are people on the continent right now who I know, others probably know, right now who live there part, say, 6 months of the year, and we can get any information. There are books on YouTube, audio books, right now, with brilliant books. Carter G. Woodson, Chancellor Williams, anyone you name is on YouTube now. You don't pay a penny. But are we distributing it to America? Have we set up any group to get those people to start to even pay attention to these audio books? You don't have to buy the book. You don't have to read the book. It's there, okay,
right.
On the internet.
Right.
You know, sometimes I wonder if we're the laughing stock of the world. I do, because all these things are free. You don't even have to pay for them anymore. But we just don't even be able to organize ourselves effectively. It doesn't have to be about nationality. It doesn't have to be about what you call yourself when you wrap yourself around a flag. We just have to know that we're under attack, and we must inform our brothers. We don't need to go to Africa to do that. We can do that from our phones.
Yes.
But we're not doing. I'm not saying that some of us aren't doing it, but we're not doing it in a manner which is big enough, or, you know, conducive enough to real progress. And these tools are free. It blows my mind. It really does. You understand? I send you stuff, Baba Ochi, and
I
know you probably pass them on. But what I'm saying is, you know, I can open up a group on WhatsApp and everybody can have the information for free. Mm-hmm. I can stir them to that information. They can pass it to anybody on the continent. We need to be more progressive. You know what I mean? Because we don't have to be in Africa to do this. And, you know, and I agree. I agree with what you're saying, Baba Ochi, but I think that charity must start at home.
Right. Oh, so I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
Start at home and goes abroad. Yes.
You can start right from where you're at. Each one of us right now can start right this second. You can go on YouTube. You can find any book on audio book on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Any of the books which actually help to change your mind through progressive Afrocentric academics, they're on YouTube right now. You don't pay one penny for them, okay? But are we getting them to the people who should be getting them? We're not doing it. I'm telling you, we're not doing it wholesale enough. We're not doing it. And I have to wonder what's happened to us. I have to wonder what really is going on with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really. You know what I mean? Because these things, you know, it don't cost you no money. It won't cost you that much time. So what is our problem? I really have to wonder. Look, there are millions. Trust me, Bob. So from when I started doing this before the internet was there. And I've been working with the internet from it started. With all these apps, Facebook, the whole lot of them. And I've seen the progress of people. It's not that some ain't doing it, but we're not doing it in a collective manner that we can change a whole nation of people. And we can do that. We can do that right from here.
I say
we can do that.
We have the ability, and the technology is there. I speak to you. You're in the UK. I'm here in Atlanta.
Right.
We could have somebody on right now One sister used to be lived in Botswana. She used to come on some time ago, though. You know, but that's possible.
Sister Sesame, through your program, I contacted her, and she used to ring UK. A lot of people are concerned about it because she used to ring UK regular, and all of a sudden we don't hear from her, so we don't really know what's happened.
Right.
The point is this, Ochi, yeah? We can do it from the point, right from the point we're at. We just need to come together. We have a problem coming together, and I don't know why we are so antagonistic about coming together. That's the bottom line for me. Why are we so antagonistic about coming together, even within our own families? Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, the only thing, I look at it like this, Brother Paul, and I know we're up against time. I look at it like this. Because of our indoctrination, because we consistently live in an environment that is very bad for us, we are trained to think and behave in certain ways, and that is always against coming together. That is all. You think they want us to unify? You think they want us to come together? No, never. They want us to be fragmented. They want us to be at each other. They want us to be argumentative with each other. No, they don't. They don't want us to be unified because they know once that happens, it's over for their ass.
We're not their children, yeah? We're not their children, and they're not our gods.
No.
We now need to bury the excuses and realize that our back's up against the wall, as Marcus Messiah Garvey put it. You're going to realize yourself when your back's up against the wall. But the truth of the matter is, most of us don't even know our back's up against the wall. We have no idea that our back's up against the wall. We don't even know that we're under the most severe form of genocide on the planet, and we don't even realize that.
Right.
And that, to me, is absolute madness. That shows some dumbness going on among us, some real dumbness. I don't care what you come and tell me your professional qualifications or what you know and whatever, or how old you are. I listen to these people, and I think to myself, some of them are proper dumb.
Right.
Proper dumb. And we need to wake up, Brother OT. We need to wake up. You know what I mean? People talk about raising your voice. Sometimes you need to raise your voice to get it through to people that we're in trouble. And all this bullshit talking and arguing and nonsense ain't getting us nowhere. Well, you know, Marcus Garvey said it 100 years ago. There's something wrong. Why are we letting this white man bamboozle us? He said that 100 years ago. He said, why are we letting this white man bamboozle us? And 100 years later, we're still doing it. There's something wrong, OG.
Come on, what is really going on?
I'm sorry, but you have to say, what is really going on with us? We'd rather argue about stupid things. You hear that guy? I make a joke, and he wants to bite me and kill me over a joke. That's that idiot we are. The stupidest of our people. You know what, right? If we don't wake up, we are going to be in the museum. We're going to be in the British Museum.
That's right.
And the children are going to be coming and looking at us and saying, they were the people who lived.
Right. And they just vanished. I hear you. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, all the listeners. Appreciate y'all. Sister Abia, thank you. And Brother Ted Lusk, thank you. Theodore Lusk. Brother Irv. And, of course, Baba. Thank you so much. And all the other listeners, appreciate you. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. BB48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace.